Welcome back to another episode. In this episode, we'll talk about the book War of Art, one of the classics by Stephen Pressfield. He has four other books. They all seem pretty interesting. It'll be a while before we get to them, but for now, let's cover this one. So what is this book about? Deep within us is there's this enemy that destroys our dreams at every chance it can get. It's cunning as it has only one mission to do, which is prevent us from doing any type of meaningful work by using procrastination, self-doubt, and distraction as friends. This is what the key point of War of Art. And that's why Pressfield explores on why we struggle so often to pursue our passions. This internal foe of self-destruction known as resistance, it is the biggest struggle of artists, entrepreneurs, and any other aspirational person who's trying to do something that's beyond them. It goes into both philosophy and tactical techniques to use and tells about how to deal with that on a daily basis and how that by fighting this resistance, we can actually push ourselves to be the highest and most creative we can. So this mental force resistance is what opposes everything you want to do and affects not just you alone, but everyone. Let's say if you haven't had any dreams to do something, but then you hesitated on it, that is where resistance came in. Maybe you wanted to write a novel, start a business, but you felt like, I don't know, something's holding me back. That is a resistance force. Anything new that's not part of the routine, it will try to take away because it's not an habit. And so naturally, if something's not your habit and you have to do it's different, resistance will come in. It's negative and it always opposes the one thing it hates the most, which is change. And change is what leads to growth. So there you go. You got your enemies. Say an example, if you had feeling that, huh, maybe you want to try making a new business, but then the resistance will be that, no, you should just stay what you gotta do. Don't risk things. You don't know if it's going to work out. It might fail. We're better off this way. Let somebody else do it. Same thing, but if you're wanting to start a new diet, the resistance will be the voice tells you like, oh, we can't really do this. Just one more snack or maybe, you know, take a break day today. That's what comes in. We'll always tell you, no, you can just start it tomorrow, not today. And this is the normal feeling that's there. It's crazy that it sounds as normal. But it affects everyone again, not just you alone. Everyone feels this. You gotta accept that this resistance is just natural and stop thinking this like trying to come for yourself. It's trying to come after us personally. It's universal. Even the most experienced people feel this resistance. We can actually, though, learn how to use this resistance defeated by refocusing on dreams, focusing on the craft, and just accepting that this challenging resistance is part of the journey. Pressfield tells we can use the resistance to our advantage. Talks about there's actually two lives that are lived. The lives that we lived and our unlived lives. Every day in just our normal life. But there's another unlived life where we've actually done everything that our dreams we want to do but haven't created yet. The punch pushes like, why are you waiting for the future to start your dreams? And it's most likely is because there's some kind of fear or self-doubt, which are basically the left and right arms of resistance. It prevents us from getting these dreams to become lived. They just stay fantasies. For any author that wants to write a novel, for example, they'll feel fear. And it could be a fear of being rejected by the publishers, maybe not meeting the expectation of what you promised other people. You may even just stop writing because if you know if you're going to succeed, then there's a chance to fail, then you could just stop. And it's okay to feel this fear and self-doubt. This means to show that you actually care about the dream. You wouldn't be afraid of failing if you didn't care. And this can be a good thing to guide that something that you fear to do but always think about is basically is you caring about something. Even the most accomplished people actually are afraid. Hollywood actors, for example, the host of Inside the Actor's Studio, often ask guests why they chose certain roles. And many professionals chose roles they actually were kind of afraid to do. And this is because they were passionate about it. They wanted to push themselves, improve themselves, to motivate themselves. Don't let the fear and self-doubt, control it. Instead, use these emotions to recognize that is a challenge you want to tackle head on. That is the best way to fight resistance, is to act like, what would a professional do here? And treat that goal that you have, that dream you want to make, as like your full-time job. You're pursuing a dream and you just work on it a few hours here and there. That's the mistake, because you're letting the room for fear and self-doubt come in. Think of yourself as constantly trying to reach your dream. If you're so involved in it, it's like imagine if you were doing that for a full-time job. And a great example of this actually is Quentin Tarantino, the director, made movies like Django and a bunch of the others. He actually didn't go to film school. Yeah, he makes cool movies, right? But instead, he actually worked at a video rental store where he watched films, used his free time to make these small movies he would like to test out and apply the craft. And even once that a project that he was making was destroyed in a fire. But instead of feeling that, he was like, oh man, nothing's going to happen, I failed, he actually realized that he never finished the film. But the project, the process of it, taught him so much more than any like class could have. He was just dedicated, and even when challenges came, he didn't give up, so he stuck with his craft. The same skills can be done for your dream. You could use the skills in your day job that you have to transfer it over to your work that you want to do for your dream. This self-discipline is what's going to be needed to make your dream a reality. If you only, for example, do things when inspiration strikes, well, inspiration doesn't strike the same time every day. But fortunately, there's this famous quote that you can choose to, so it goes by, it's for writers, but this basically says, I only write when inspiration strikes. It replied, fortunately, it strikes every morning at 9 a.m. sharp. This is what the true secret, to call it, is behind professionals. They don't sit around waiting for the inspiration to come. They make sure they do it day and out, even on the days they don't feel 100% there. But remember, you can take breaks if you're actually physically tired or just need a mental health break. But if you want to build something difficult, it will take that push. You got to know yourself and what your craft is like. And to know yourself, you have to know what your limits are, what your strengths are. You can't expect to do everything by yourself. When you know your limits, you're good at getting to work with others and delegating things. A famous director named Terry Gilliam is someone who works on solo projects, but he's also a member of Monty Python play. He actually offered advice to the first person, Quentin Tarantino. And he said to him, like, hey, look, since you're new and coming up, good director just doesn't mean doing everything, but it means knowing to delegate things to other talented people, whether it's your actors, producers, photographers, makeup artists, directors, the set, event setup people. Everyone at the crew of the film is important, and you must know the limits that you have so you can direct and work with the powers of others. Even Tiger Woods had actually a coach, even when he was the best in the world, because he knew there are still limits that he might not see, that a coach can help him improve and break them. Resistance is increased more by chaos too. So what does a professional do? They're more organized, patient, and bold. By doing so, you make it easy and hard for the resistance to stop you. Author John Updike did this really well for his writing process. He would wake up every day and write, but he focused on pacing himself evenly throughout the process. He didn't try to do 10,000 words in one day. He set some realistic goals that he knows, like, okay, this is pushing a little bit, but I can do it. And that way he was focusing on the process of the work than focusing on the outcome, because the outcome isn't in your control, but the process is. So instead of when you quit, when you have a hard problem, try to train yourself to see, like, these challenges are actually what's important to get to the goal. Oprah is a super big example who did this to challenge the ideals back then. In the starting, there was no talk show hosted by a black woman who could gain a following. It was dominated by usually white men. So she wanted to focus her lives on her guests' personal emotions and lives. This was something that was uncommon, but she stuck with it. And within months, it was the most watched show in America, and held brag to so many undiscussed issues at that time, like bullying, obesity, dieting, instead of backing down from criticism, she actually uses it as motivation to push further and work harder, just like the professionals do. Here we've been talking about all this negative force of resistance, but if there's a negative side, you'd think there's also a positive force, right? And that is true. Muses are examples of such positive forces. In the poem The Odyssey by Homer, he actually writes, there are 9 goddesses called the Muses who inspire creativity and ideas in artists. They present ideas to dedicated artists and help them defeat the negative force of resistance. Homer himself actually called upon them to tell the story of Odysseus. Tell the story of Odysseus' death. He was able to tell the story of Odysseus' 10-year struggle to come back home after the Trojan War. But we also have to invoke our muses to tap into these forces and fight against resistance. It's kind of like being obsessed with your craft, that the resistance doesn't stop you. Another thing that professionals battle is hierarchies. They actually exist everywhere, so. And hierarchies are against change because they like to fix things how they be. This is the order to follow. But to break something, it's going to be required, or you're going to be manipulated by just being worked in the hierarchy. Professionals don't hold them back to this hierarchy. They actually battle them by remaining true what they know they do best is work on their craft and work for themselves rather than just doing something because the public demands. Yes, the public's opinion is useful to get feedback, but they shouldn't be running you. And Steve Jobs is a great example of this, who was a perfectionist and believer in his vision. He even created this vision distortion field that people would believe they could do some crazy things. And when he worked to realize the emotion, then trying to guess what others might like, he actually created the most successful consumer electronics company, Apple. And as a professional, usually you're committed to working in a certain territory where you want to achieve these goals. It could be directing Oscar films, writing, whatever the specific calling is. And for whatever the specific calling is, that's the most important. If you haven't seen the documentary for Arnold Schwarzenegger about Arnold, the Terminator, about Arnold, aka the Terminator, is a bodybuilder, actor, and politician, but his territory is the gym. When he goes to the gym, that's where he felt satisfied. Every time he came back from the gym, you know, he was energized, feeling good, and he did this day after day after day. And it's endless. There's only a much limit that you give back into your work. It's how much you get back. If you come into a territory, the changes can be even enormous. The same way how Steve Jobs was able to change the territory of computing with Bill Gates as his competitor. Now personal computers are so cheap that everyone has almost have them, and it's so easily your phones or a personal computer, think about it. So it's important to fight the negative forces of resistance. And you can do so by identifying the tips I've presented before. And by pushing through in your territory through hard work and not giving up, and the persistence is what makes it happen. Thanks for listening, and see you in the next one.
You've been listening to Pure Entropy. Thanks for listening to this podcast. Really means a lot. Appreciate all the time taken out of your day to give it a listen. If you'd like to support further, you can do so by leaving us a review on your favorite podcasting platform of choice. See you in the next one.